Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 48. My name's Turner Sparks.
My name's Mordechai Kaplan.
Mordechai, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm excited. 48. That's in 1948 was the year Israel and Ireland were both founded.
L'chaim.
We learned in an earlier podcast.
Did we?
St. Paddy's Day episode. Yeah, L'chaim.
You can find me at Turner B. Sparks on Twitter. You can find Cap at Cap in America.
I believe that's where you can find me.
On the podcast today, we have Andrea Jones-Roy from 538.com.
Yeah, a former guest coming back.
I believe she was on episode 8.
Yeah.
Or 9 or 10 or somewhere pretty early.
Every 40 episodes, she likes to check in.
At that point, she was jobless.
Yeah.
And now she
got the bump from this place.
Yeah,
this podcast. I'm
sure the old LIA bump, they call it.
All right.
We got her a job.
Yeah.
So now she's at 538. She's doing statistical. I don't know. She's writing political articles, something like that. We're going to find out. She's going to be in here later. We're going to talk about Cuba. She just wrote an article. But before that, Kaplan, huge news.
Yeah? About Cuba?
About us.
Oh, more importantly.
We've been averaging very close to 1,500 downloads a week for the last month.
Yes, close, but not quite cigar yet, right?
We're almost
not
there.
Not quite a Cuban cigar.
But if I remember correctly, I did the challenge at 1,000. I buzzed my hair, I shaved my head. People, there was a lot of hubbub about that with the listeners.
Yeah.
But now we're at 1,500.
It's
your
turn.
Time.
Yeah, I put it to a vote at home. Yeah,
so what are you going to do?
And Teddy said, grow a mustache, Dad.
Grow a mustache.
Yeah, I think his exact words were grow a Hitler mustache.
I think a Hitler mustache is probably the best way to do it.
But I don't think I can do that. I think it's going to offend some people.
Offend
myself.
Hulk Hogan?
I was thinking the Raleigh fingers might be too hard. So I think maybe I'm going to go just with a cool like 80s dad mustache. That's my goal.
What about the Hogan where you grow it out like handlebar, but then you dye it black? Hollywood Hogan.
All right. How long does that take to grow? Because
I don't know. How long does it take you to grow a mustache?
Because I have to put it in the sweet spot of between my wife's birthday, September 12th, and between the Jewish holidays. I can't be showing up at the synagogue.
Is that illegal? You can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery with a Hollywood Hogan mustache?
No,
or Hitler mustache,
yeah.
Probably.
You can't show up in a Hitler mustache Rosh Hashanah. That, no, I'm not going to go there. I see a lot of people from high school. They wanted them to judge me. They're going to see the mustache.
Oh, but then if you tell them 1,500 downloads,
ooh,
they're going to judge you well.
Faces. How many downloads do they have?
Exactly.
All right, done.
There you go.
Going full Hitler, Raleigh, whatever comes first.
All right, next, Amazon. Okay, so I got to clear something up because we've had a lot of people.
A lot of confusion.
A lot of listeners are writing in, all the new listeners. Yeah. No one understands how to use Amazon. What you do?
Our new listeners don't know what Amazon is. Explain it to them, please.
Amazon is an app.
Yeah.
What you do? Go to, if you want to support the pod, but you don't want to give us money because like no one wants to give us money, what you do is you go to lostinamericapod.com. On the upper right-hand corner, there'll be an advertisement for Amazon. It has, people are like,
it's like a pop-up, sort of.
It's like a pop-up. It has a book, maybe, or like,
I don't know where the formula they come up with the most weirdest
shit. For some reason,
shit.
It's trying to sell you some book. You don't have to buy that book. Just click on that advertisement. It'll take you back to Amazon. Do all your regular shopping you were going to do anyway, and a portion of that comes to us. You don't have to buy the book. Don't buy the book. But don't buy the book.
Fuck that book.
That's the new slogan for the pod.
But please shop on, if you're going to shop on Amazon, help us out.
All right. Should we get to Lost in America?
Let's get to it.
Lost in America. Lost in America. Lost in America. Lost in America.
Cap, we have a special guest today. My wife, is sitting in for Lost in America. How you doing?
Good, good.
So, you've been here for like 2 months now in the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're lost. I'm a little less lost, but I can still dig deep and find stuff.
You seem less lost because she's more lost, I think, is what it is.
Yes.
Right?
So in comparison, I look great.
Yeah, exactly. This is your, the best improvement you've made.
In comparison to my wife.
Yes.
So
you're more American slightly.
What do you got? What's going on?
Okay. You know, like, because I work for, I do like social media stuff.
Shout out, Mr. Bing.
Mr. Bing's got you doing the social media stuff.
Yeah. Facebook, Instagram, blah, 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 all that. And so, I was trying to make a plan, like a social media strategy, but I don't know, like the terminologies people use here. And in China, we just say sometimes like you repost people's like articles or like videos, you retweet, you repost. But there is another thing called curated.
Curated.
Curate. That's a term to use it. You use curated content.
Curated, I believe.
Wait, they're saying
curated.
They're telling you to use this term? Or
oh yeah. No, that's the term people use.
It just means people stealing. That's this new thing in America. No one used the term curated before unless you were at the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Right, an actual curator, like an art person who curates a museum.
Yes.
That's what a curator is.
I was at Starbucks. I will post this on our Twitter page, Lost in America. I was at Starbucks and they had a bucket of popcorn and they said proudly curated by Starbucks. The fucking popcorn.
Yeah, I know. I think I showed this to you when you first got back to America, but like I was explaining, like there was like a music festival, Governor's Ball.
Yes.
And I'm on the mailing list and there's a thing and it just sends you a poster and it's not, it looks like a band poster, all the different bands that perform a show, but there's no bands. It was like all the different food places and it's like curated. And it's like the brownie place, so the donut, and that's not curated. That's just, these are those places that decide to provide food. You didn't choose them.
At best, it means picked.
Right.
Like you picked this. At worst, it means like stolen.
It's
like
the smuggest way to say stolen I could think of.
Yes.
And in social media world, it means, I don't even understand how.
Yeah, you just like, you use a, because you cannot attract traffic.
Right.
That we call like traffic.
No, you're right. You're looking at me when you say that. I cannot attract traffic. I'm still at 220 followers. We've been doing this podcast for like 48 episodes.
So what do you do is
I gotta start curating.
Like, try to like, you know, like yeah, stealing the very like well narrated articles and to make to kind of like try to make a connection with your things.
I think what
and
it is.
So to
yeah, I think what it is, and this is the last thing, is that. Everyone now wants to be creative. Everyone fancies himself as like an artist, a creative
type.
Right,
well, that's what social media is. It allows everyone to be creative.
Yeah, but
even use non-podcasters.
Like 98% of people are not creative.
Yeah.
And so this is a way to for them to feel creative. Is to say, I'm not creative, but I curated this.
Yeah.
Like every guy who ever had a girlfriend in high school curated a mixtape
exactly.
to give to
that's
her on a date.
That's way more work.
Like 8 love songs. That doesn't make you an artist.
That's a lot more. That's a more accurate definition.
Make you some dipshit in the suburbs.
Yeah. Get a podcast if you want to be creative.
Get a podcast. All right.
What else? What else has been noticing bugging you?
Yeah. One last thing I want to share with you was something was really surprising to me.
All right.
Well, in New York, there are so many crazy people.
Yeah, we've got a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're harmless, right?
You're looking at two of them right here. You're married to one.
Yeah, we're on the
keep going.
So I was on the subway the other day, and across from me was a lady. Pretty sure like she has some mental problems, but she was just talking to herself, and she was looking to distance. I don't know, like looking at something, and then she was like cursing, speaking to her the whole time. Half Spanish and half English.
Oh, a bilingual crazy person.
Genius crazy.
And then
Daca.
And then the thing is like, at the next stop,
Where is the biblioteca? Sorry, keep going.
But at the next stop, there are a lot of people got on the subway. But I was like checking on my phone, but the next thing I looked up, there were two ladies sitting right next to her. They were not scared of her at all.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just doing their own thing. Well, this never happened in China.
They don't have crazy people on the
we
subway?
We do have a crazy people, but we cage them.
Well, you cage them?
Wait, hold on. You cage them?
That's true. They get put in mental institutions slash prisons.
But on the subway, do they like block them off?
Well, they're definitely not bilingual. There's not a lot of bilingual nutbags.
In China, it's because a lot of people, they have mental problems. Their families are taking care of them, or they try to keep them inside.
One thing I'll say about the subway and that in general is that people, especially real New Yorkers, they're proud of the fact that they can stand next to a crazy person and not bat an eye. Like, it's like, oh, the crazy person's going on. This is New York. This is what I.
It's like going like a boxer at a weigh-in, like not flinching.
Yeah, not flinching. Oh. There's only one thing that New Yorkers, almost on the flip side of this, like proudly, because it shows that they're smarter. They outsmarted them. The only thing that they'll bat an eye on is smell. When you got a homeless guy who's like, have you seen like a homeless guy who's like really reeks bad, who's like sleeping?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you walk into a subway car and you're like, oh my God, there's so many seats open. I'm so excited. And at rush hour, and then you realize it's because like some guy smells so bad that like everybody like books it to the other one, and then the people who don't register quickly because they're tourists, they don't know what to do. They don't know you're allowed to do that. They're all the ones stuck and they're standing there. So that's the only thing that I think. And then the other thing is people are all like, you know, they're listening to headphones now, listening to our podcast probably, so they're probably not even hearing the crazy person.
Probably listening to it right now, looking at a crazy person.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is, if you a well-washed nutcase has free reign in New York City.
Free reign, well washed. That's the key. That's the key. So if you're a nutcase and you're looking to make it here, grab a bar of soap.
That's
maybe
it.
Maybe some deodorant. Put a hat out. You know those backpackers.
Yes.
If you want to backpack to New York? Say I need
jump in the East River.
Money,
right.
A little Dove bar.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for being on the pod.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. Come please check in again.
Yeah. Anytime.
Ents is an app.
It's still an app.
You can get it in the App Store. You can get it wherever apps are sold.
Yeah.
And for free.
And it's we're really using it. We stepped it up this week.
We did step it up the last 2 weeks. We're inting a bonus pod story every single week. This week, what are we doing?
So we're going to do a story about millennials and how they're scared of the doorbell.
Oh, yeah. Millennials are too scared now to answer a doorbell.
They don't know what to do. If your Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't want to spoil the ends, but Jehovah's Witnesses out there.
Oh, their days are numbered.
You're going to change your whole, your days are numbered. You're not going to be able to get anybody. You have to start texting people. I'm outside.
All right, save it for ends.
Save it for
the ends.
And can we give a shout out to DJ Payne?
Big time shout out to DJ Payne. We got people now following us who found out about this podcast through Ents.
New biggest DJ in Australia, I've heard.
Morning. Huge radio DJ.
Breakfast radio DJ.
Yeah, he's now a pod listener. He's sending us in questions. We're going to talk to Ikram. We're going to try to figure out how to get our Ents into the pod so people can Ents us questions and we can play them on the podcast. Last thing I want to do before we get to Lost in America is I want to do a shout out, quick shout out.
Yeah.
I was just in Carlsbad, New Mexico.
One of our biggest markets, I've heard.
We're huge there. Hanging out with my cousin Lauren.
Jerry Lewis of Carlsbad, I've heard.
I was hanging out with my cousin Lauren Sparks. She took me to Milton's Brewing, which is a great bar, great brewery down there.
They sponsor?
Lucas Middleton, the barkeep. Big listener.
All right. Hey, Luke.
Big fan. Shout out to Lucas. He said he learned all about the Chinese Hongbao, the red envelope, from our podcast.
Wow, maybe he can make us a Lost in America shot.
That would be amazing.
A special drink or something.
We'll get a shot up at Milton's Brewery. Anybody who goes to Carlsbad, New Mexico, stop in there, have our shot.
We'll have to design it.
All right, should we get to Andrea Jones-Roy?
Yeah, let's bring her in.
Come on in. Welcome back to the pod, Andrea Jones-Roy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Returning guests.
Yeah. Hooray.
We've had a couple returning guests now.
Have you had anyone come three times? I'm going to be competitive.
Steve Martin, I think, came. No.
Steve Martin.
Oh, he did, yeah. Yes. But he's been in the background on most of them.
Yeah.
Because now you're working, as we were saying earlier, at 538.com.
That's right. I am a quantitative researcher, which is something that no one really knows what that is yet. It's sort of a job we made up. For me,
really
cool. Yeah, I did. I was an academic in political science.
Yes.
And so, like,
for NYU.
At NYU, yeah, and I did my degree at Michigan, which is a super quantitative, like, social science kind of place. And so it's all like survey research and experiments, and in my work in particular, content analysis, statistics, and game theory.
Game theory.
Game theory.
I don't,
video
like
games?
To say game theory.
What
I
does game theory mean?
Game theory is awesome. 538 has a piece coming out tomorrow. Ooh. Sneak alert.
Today. Well, yeah. Today. Out tomorrow.
All right, today, that I did not write, but it is about game theory. But basically, it's applying logic of strategy to real life situations. So when you play chess with each other, we try to do things like anticipate the other... People who are good at chess do this. I do not do this. You anticipate the other person's move. You calculate your strategy based on what you think they're going to do, and then they're doing what they're going to do based on what they think you're going to do. And so they're... Economists and political scientists and some other people were like, hey, that's how everyone lives life.
To me, like, everyone's playing chess. Here, and I'm playing checkers, possibly chutes and ladders. I'm very low on
the strategy in chutes and ladders.
I don't remember chutes and ladder well enough, but this is a good example, actually, where chutes and ladders, what do? You roll a dice and you move and that's it?
You spin.
You spin a thing. This is totally relevant. What you don't do in chutes and ladders, if I'm remembering correctly, is you don't care what the other players are doing. It's just a race of numbers by yourself.
Yeah, you have no control
of
the other players.
You get a five, and you either get a ladder or a chute, and you go back, right?
Yeah.
So game theory is only about situations in life where your payoff, like how good a choice you make, how good your choices that you make depends on what other people are doing.
Got it. So politics.
Yeah. Versus like decision theory, which is like I go to the store, and I'm trying to choose between boxes of cereal. What other people choose doesn't affect what I should pick, presumably.
Because I was just going to say, so you're saying, because sometimes when I'm like going to make a big decision, a brash, like I'm going to invest in this thing, or I'm going to do this. I'll just be like, game theory. Is that using it right? If I'm just like, I'm doing game theory.
I mean, maybe.
I don't think just by telling people you're doing game theory
smart
means you're doing, I don't think that's how you use it right.
But it is to an extent.
I just learned what it is.
That's why I don't own an apartment. Yeah. I don't know how to use.
But it's, so even that depends on like what you're, So here are two examples. So if you're trying to decide what to invest in or like you're trying to buy a house,
right,
you're making guesses about the future value of those investments, right? Or the future value of those houses. So in a way, it's strategic. So it's game theoretic in the sense that the value of your, if you buy an apartment, depends on what other people in that neighborhood do.
Yeah, like if next year, am I going to be making more money than that a-hole down the street?
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Amazon money is coming in. Cha-ching.
Billion-dollar ideas. He doesn't have that either.
Yeah, so that decision depends on what other people do.
Okay.
And you're taking that into account. So that's what game theory means. Why are we because I mentioned it. That's right. I was like, I've really derailed your podcast already.
No, this also gets us to the article you wrote recently.
Very
that
good.
We want to talk about.
All right.
Which is... Trump's ban, the title is Trump's ban on travel to Cuba might actually help Cuba's economy. Is this game theory?
Mm. No.
This is chutes and ladders theory.
Oh, really?
Not really.
This is chutes and ladders?
This is chutes and ladders. I wouldn't say it's primarily game theory. I would say that
Did we just talk about
it? No,
but
I
bet you
like,
Trump, when he made this decision, goes, game theory.
He just says it like you?
No, that's because he's probably playing Monopoly.
He understands it the way I understand it.
So... What this is, the reason we're having you on because you're a friend and you're great, but also you wrote this recent article for 538.com about the embargo on Cuba.
Yes.
I went to college in South Florida. I was in the middle of all this. Yeah. I've been to Cuba.
I think Elian Gonzalez was staying at your place at one point.
I lived on Calle Ocho.
He is Elian Gonzalez.
I might be.
When did you go to Cuba?
I went in 2002.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you ate a horse, as we discussed in the pod a few times.
Yes. I hung out at Castro's summer house.
You know.
Really?
Yeah, everybody got sick. Havana. We all puked because he fed us horse.
That's game theory.
Fidel Castro fed you horse?
Yeah, that was his game theory. I'm going to give these Yankees a bunch of horse meat.
Oh, he game theoried me.
He game theoried you.
Yeah. So what happened? Going back. So Clinton, I was there in 2002 because Clinton had... Bill Clinton, not Hillary. Yeah.
Some of our millennial listeners don't know who Bill Clinton is. Go on.
Some hanger-on to Hillary.
Bill Clinton had sort of, not totally lifted the embargo, but kind of.
Right.
And he had made it like so college students could go. So we went, and then George Bush pulled it back, and then Obama completely lifted the embargo, which is this idea that Americans can go to Cuba or not go to Cuba to try to stronghold the Cuban government.
Right. So one of the things that was weird and useless about the Trump statement was that he actually wasn't, he was like, I'm canceling Obama's initiatives.
So that's
and
what
he
Trump
actually
did.
Didn't do very much. The only thing he really changed was these travel rules. So Americans can no longer travel to Cuba independently. They can go as part of like official groups just like before. But he didn't change like the sanctions and the trade and that sort of stuff. So my article is just about the travel. And that's, I think, the only piece that's really changed.
So he didn't touch the cigars. Where are we in the cigar status?
I think we never could get cigars.
And the shortstops. Shortstops can still come over,
yeah,
right?
And then, like, the soccer players can come and then, like, defect and stay here as
they
always did.
Wait, so then in your article, you're talking about how, okay, when Trump first got rid of this, or brought the embargo back, so to speak?
Totally. Yes.
When he first brought it back, there were people in South Florida who were definitely happy about this, because Cubans in America do not want anyone to go to Cuba. They want to cut off Cuba. They hate Cuba more than anybody.
American Cubans.
Cuban Americans.
They hate me too, but that's enough.
Right.
So they hate the Cuban government. They don't want anyone to go. But then, like, most liberal Americans were upset because they think it should be open so they can go hang out on the beach and drink pina coladas. They want a Cabo Wabo.
Yeah.
They want the whole
thing.
Also,
I was in Cuba earlier this year, and I could not get a pina colada.
What?
Yeah. Oh, no, mojito.
And how long were you there for?
I was there for 5 days with my boyfriend, who also got violently sick.
Hey, yeah, maybe he had
maybe
the horse.
Maybe he had horse.
Did he have the horse?
Might have.
They're still running that game theory on him.
Yeah, yeah, so much game theory is still happening. Game theory is alive and well in Cuba.
Fidel taught to Raul.
So what'd you do while you were in Cuba?
We were in Havana for a couple days, and then we went down to Cienfuegos in the south. And it was hot. And we took a bus that went about 15 miles an hour. So of our few, we had like 4 full days. One of them was spent on a bus just crawling down.
Were you with like Cubans on this bus?
It was all Cubans. Yeah. We almost like ran out of money 1,000 times because you can't, it's really hard to get money and it's all cash based and like all that.
They still have traveler's checks there to really backward.
Probably. Yeah.
Were you on for work?
Like, no. We just were those same like jerk Americans that I was kind of hating on in my article. Who are like, this was before Trump made his announcement or anything, but we were just like, we want to go and flights are cheap. So we just went.
But
for
even
like a
before
long
Trump
weekend.
Did it, didn't you have to like have some sort of BS like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like and the people were going for the Ben Folds 5 concert or something.
Yeah.
Like,
and so what did you find while you were down there?
I found it. I mean, you haven't been, yeah? You were there in 2002?
I've been to Miami.
I've
been to Cuba. I went to a great Cuban place in Miami.
It was shockingly. Like poor, like more poor than I thought it would be. This sounds like a naive thing to say, but it really was a lot more impoverished than I thought it would be. There's no snacks, and like, and that's a sad thing.
Dear
to
God.
Like list second.
What are you supposed to
that's
do with
a second?
Chuck's
number
mix.
One thing is everyone's poor. Number two, there's no snacks.
Not a cheese curl. No. So this is more.
Number three, people were starving.
People said people were like, I couldn't. No,
four,
so
everyone had AIDS.
I'm vegan, and everyone hates me. I'm horrible, but I only say that because normally I go to a foreign country, and everyone's like, you're never gonna be able to eat anything, and I just like, it's fine. I just eat potato chips and almonds. Like, I'll be fine. Okay. And there literally was not that. That's the only reason that I was.
There was
like,
only horse.
It's only horse. And these like sandwiches, and there's like these government-run restaurants. But
I mean, do they have like a store and go in and like buy it potato chips
and
almonds? No. Okay.
No.
Well, okay. So government-run restaurant, because like that's the thing. People always say to me, and probably you, because you used to live in China as well. They're like, oh, well, when you start telling them China stories, people will be like, well, how does China have all that? I thought they were communist.
No, Cuba's actually communist.
The real like communist.
I was like, this is what it is. Like all the stores are the same. They sell the same like ham sandwiches. Yeah, as foreigners, you have your own currency, and then you can't like interact with the local currency, and the prices are, you know, understandably 10,000 times as high.
Did you use U.S. dollars, or was
a whole new
currency?
A whole new currency. So we had a friend who'd gone the week before, so we had some of their currency to start with, and then we had some euros from a different friend. We're in light money laundering in my house, but we had some euros. Like, you can't use dollars, basically.
You can use euros?
You can use euros.
Interesting.
Yeah. The final thing, I was like, we're out of cash, we need to get a hotel room. My boyfriend's sick. I used my Chinese debit card to get like the last amount of money that allowed us to stay in a hotel, and
it
saved our lives. Yeah, we would have been homeless.
Do you still have
a
Chinese
bank
account?
Yeah, I can't get my money out of China.
Comrades, look out for comrades.
Wow. I brought it. I was like, I know this is gonna work.
I bet Bernie Sanders can spend whatever he wants down there.
Yeah,
guy lives like a king. Yeah.
But the other thing that I noticed that motivated this article was like. There are a few very fancy hotels, like El Nacional is like a famous hotel where all this like historical stuff happened, that were extremely expensive, like $600 a night, US dollars a night, and you know, where drinks are $20 and all this stuff. And it just seems like there's that and then the rest of Cuba. And I was just imagining, I was like, this tourism, I don't feel like I'm helping Cuba. Like the whole time I was there, I was like, I'm a part of a thing. It's kind of like how Shanghai, Beijing used to be, where there's just beggars like, right, following you and like hoarding around you, and you're just like, this doesn't seem like it's good for the country.
Yeah.
We stayed in a homestay, and this woman was like, oh, no one wants to be a doctor anymore because doctors aren't paid anything. They're all becoming taxi drivers, and they're all doing these Airbnbs and all these things. Like,
they have Airbnb in Cuba?
Yeah, that was the thing that everyone was all freaked out about.
Don't they not have Airbnb like in San Francisco or something?
Oh, no. They barely have it in New York.
I mean, the commies in America. The commies in Cuba still allow it.
So is the Il Nationale, I'm just picturing, is that like the scene in like The Godfather 2 where like Michael tells, like that like one place?
Yeah. There's that and a hotel next door that we stayed in called the Capri.
Okay.
Because there was literally nothing else. Like, because
my, like my grandparents who didn't go anywhere, like they never left New Jersey, they go to Florida. But like before Castro, they used to go to Cuba.
Yeah.
That was like their Vegas. That was like where like the old timers used to go. And
but was it Batista? Was that his name?
Yeah, he was the guy.
Well, and that's the other thing is you're walking around and you're like, and I know that this is like when you walk around Williamsburg and you're like, everyone is lame. And then you're like, I look like everyone. Like I would walk around and just be like, it's all Americans just gawking at people. And I was like, I know I'm one of them, but it just didn't seem like a friendly tourism. It was just very gross. It was just turning it into like another Caribbean place.
Well, everyone wanted to get there before it was ruined, quote.
Exactly. But like, who's ruining? Like, that's why
I hate those kind of people.
I know. No, I am those people. Like, I went to Myanmar before I moved back to the U.S. from China for the same reason, because I was like, better see it now before all the foreigners come and mess it up, which they are, and they were doing when I was there. And Cuba, it seemed like it was on the exact same trajectory.
But Cuba's weird, because, like,
I would say in 2002, no one was messing it up. Yeah. There was, like, fat Australians and Canadians getting hookers, and then our college group, and that was about it.
Because that's what I was going to ask you, like, it's always been open to Europeans and Canadians.
Yes.
And so, like, do they, I mean, they, like, the English love to come to Orlando and, like, run eruptions. Yeah. So, like, why, is it just comedy, like, they've never made, like, is Cuba not have nice?
So, not really. They can't even have like really.
It's like they're wild. It used to be, I don't know if it still is, they're like wildly cheap beach.
Yeah.
It's like going to Thailand or something. It was for them.
But Thailand's nice.
Well, yeah. So that gets, so a good question. Maybe that's what you're about to talk about.
Go for it.
But back to that idea of you saying like being a good tourist during, versus a bad tourist. What do you mean?
So that's where I'm totally conflicted, because it's like, who am I to say, oh, it's bad for Myanmar and it's bad for Cuba that we show up and ruin it, because I want to go look at old timey stuff in these places.
Totally.
And not have like another McDonald's and another Starbucks, though I would have liked Starbucks at the time.
Yeah.
Like,
they have some good views.
And so who am I to say that, like, oh, I want this precious, cool thing to be preserved and have people not have advances, like technological advances that come from tourism and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
But what was bugging me about it, and I didn't really know what to do with it until Trump made the announcement, and then I was thinking about it, and it was more a reaction to the media here saying, oh my God, we've been the great saviors of Cuba, going down with our Airbnb and flooding money into the country and all this kind of stuff, that I was just like, I don't know that we were doing all that much that was good to begin with. So that's what got me to start researching this whole thing behind this article, which says that, yeah, like under some conditions, tourism can be really good for an economy, just like an export or just like any other industry. It can attract people. It attracts money. It grows. Other industries grow as a result of it. It can improve infrastructure, all these things. Or it can be like a resource curse where like a country that has a lot of oil, lots and lots of money come in because they sell all the oil and all the money just goes straight to the government.
Okay. Here's what I think.
Got it.
Doing no research.
Yes.
You know how people always say that, have you heard this, that fame doesn't change you, it makes you what you already were.
Ooh, yes.
Like a bigger...
Amazing.
So
Perfect.
if you're an asshole and then you get famous, you're going to be a bigger asshole.
Yeah.
If you're like a nice guy, you're just going to like start donating more to charity and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, this podcast is making me into a real asshole.
I'm becoming a prick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real
Shut
nervous.
Up, people on the street. And I just yelled at a homeless guy.
Yeah.
I'm doing Lost in America bits to people everywhere. They're getting really, really
we're actually thrilled. Recording this in Cuba while drinking gold.
I was in a restaurant downstairs going, do you know who I am? So that's with these countries, like this money, this tourism money, or this, as you say in the article, like this oil money or whatever that comes in.
Yeah.
The money itself is not good or bad.
Right.
It's just money. It's what you decide to do with it.
Right. And that's where the resource curse for a long time was something that economists and people in development were all worked up about. They're like, whoa, if you're a country and you're poor, or maybe not even poor, but you just discover a bunch of oil, you're ruined because it's going to make you do bad things. But that's not true, because you look at a place like Norway that was already doing fine, then they got super wealthy, and now they donate money all over. Exactly as you said. You're
okay.
Exactly right. Do you want to be a quantitative researcher? Because that's literally all it takes.
I just want to relate stuff to cliches I've heard about Hollywood.
Perfect, yeah.
And then, hire me.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It's an interesting thing, because, like, you're raised up Norway. Like, Cuba, I feel like opening up the travel thing isn't really going to solve anything, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you need to have, like, Cuba has to change.
Yeah.
Otherwise, then the travel thing can, like, improve.
Well, and the...
Because, like, you know, like, Thailand or Mia, like, there's, like, little areas that, like, we ruin... But it does, I think, improve the lives of the people in those areas.
I think
you know?
It totally does.
Like,
well, I think I think it can. I don't know that it...
I mean, they're corrupt countries too, but they're not corrupt in the same... Or, like, corrupt's not even the right word, but, like, Cuba is so closed off. So, communist ideal.
Yes. But
it's like just the idea of us traveling there is not going to change anything.
Well, I would say that, okay, if you have a choice between no job or a job at like the expat bar in town as a bartender, wouldn't that be better?
Yeah, exactly.
I would choose the expat bartender over a lot of jobs. That sounds like an awesome job.
I know, yeah, it's the way to do it. Like, I know a lot of people in Shanghai who've lived that way their whole life.
Yeah, I'm trying to compare it to like when I first moved to Suzhou, there wasn't so many expats there. But then people started moving there, and it got onto this like tourist thing because they started calling it the end of the Silk Road. The beginning, the end, it's something. It's somewhere
all
on the Silk
Road. All ends are beginnings.
So all these tourists started coming, and then all these new jobs emerged.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it was good.
Yeah. No, and tourism can be really good for countries. And tourism is a huge part of the American economy, for example. And it's a huge part of the Chinese economy. And the difference is whether the tourism is integrated into the rest of the economy and the country, and whether they have other industries going on as well, is like the big difference. So if you think about the Caribbean as a perfect example, like the other countries, I find the Caribbean totally gross. But if you read the literature on something called tourism-led growth hypothesis, says that,
we've
look,
all read
more...
That.
Yeah, everyone, everyone's
all
read
of our
it.
Listeners have read
yeah,
that.
There's like a prerequisite for this podcast.
Wait, what do you find gross about it?
It's gross because it's basically, and I've been to a few, which makes me a total expert on this, local people living in the middle, and then high-rise hotels all the way on the ring, blocking the beaches.
Yeah, but what about my when I go and I get my hair braided to look like the locals?
Then you're fine. We call that a linkage economy. Yeah, thank you for your contribution.
Yeah, it's like when I go to Saint Mar and I don't stay in the Dutch side. That's gross. I agree. On the French side, though.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, fine, sure. Right? Yeah.
Okay, totally so it's gross. Totally
so it's gross in the sense that if you look at the literature is like limited on it, right? Because if you look at the numbers, it's like, okay, same with oil. It's like, okay, every year Dominican Republic is making more money because of more and more tourists coming in. Like, there's no denying that there's a positive relationship. But what people are missing is like the broader context of what else could be going on in that economy. And if you focus on just tourism at the expense of everything else, then you have a country that doesn't have incentives to get... You're just not going to get out of this like income trap, like this tourism trap, basically. And so you have to rely on tourism because you don't have anything else.
But as the Dominican Republic, as an example, like, I mean, I feel like tourism helps them. No, like Haiti doesn't have really tourism or like.
Yeah, well, so this is where it's tricky because it does, but it's like, what else could they be doing instead, right?
They're not investing baseball players there.
Game theory.
Game theory. They're
what replacement? Right? What would you replace it with if they weren't doing? If they weren't selling?
I mean, in some cases,
cigars would probably be better than Cuba's if they're focused.
In
on
some
that.
Cases, it's tricky because there's literally nothing else that you can do on some of these islands. But Cuba, at least, you know, there's like agriculture or something. I don't know.
Sure. Sugar cane.
I mean, my argument. I want to be clear. This article was really hard to write. One, because I actually don't know a lot about most of these things. I just wanted to see what the research had to say about it. And two, I'm not arguing that there shouldn't be tourism to Cuba. I'm just arguing that there are thoughtful ways to do it and not thoughtful ways to do it. And this embargo is a weird opportunity, like unlike any in history, where you're like, we know we have this great resource. We know it's an increasing demand. Americans were coming more and more and more. You're right, way more Canadians and Europeans were coming than Americans. So American impact was even way smaller than the Western media or...
No one ever thinks of that. They just think it's like Americans are not.
No, we were like 5%. It was growing fast, but it was like barely any. But Cuba knows that it's like...
We spend the most. Though.
It's like discovering you have oil and then everyone being like, you can't... Or like you have a trust fund, but it's like you can't touch it for 10 years.
Yeah.
So do something else. Like it's like the same thing with the rich person. It's like if you, when you're 18, are handed $10 million or when you're 30 are handed $10 million, maybe you figured out some other stuff before you were 30. I didn't, but maybe
someone
would.
Isn't that so condescending to tell another country to wait to get their own
money?
Oh,
I'm saying it's shitty, but it's a weird silver
lining. Yeah, but
they
don't want the money. That's the thing with Cuba. Like,
they don't want it?
I mean, they've chosen to, I don't know, like, are they...
Oh, well, here's my opinion.
I mean, not the people want the money, but I mean, the government...
It's Castro's dream. The embargo is the best thing for the Castro family, whoever's still alive.
Oh, yeah,
because they get to blame everything on America.
Yeah.
And then as long as they have America as an enemy...
The interesting thing is, if we do have, like, normal relations with Cuba, like, right now, like, the second they lifted is really cool. Like, it was, like, kind of a liberal, whatever you want to call it, thing. Like, let's go to Cuba. Like, I want to go there before it's ruined.
Yeah.
But what happens 10 years from now, 15 years... Like, then it loses its whole... Like, I was kind of joking about this, but, like, the cigars, like, I mean, are they the best cigars? Yeah, I guess they are, but, like, are they really? Like, they're legal.
See,
it's cool.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. We only like stuff in Cuba because we can't have it.
Totally.
The minute it's, like,
so they
all
do
flooded We're not. There will be no more shortstops.
Yeah,
and
I mean, you know, Jose Contreras is a nice pitcher, but he wasn't.
Well, and
I
that's the problem with focusing just on tourism. And one day that will happen to the Dominican Republic and all these other countries, where it's just like it either loses its appeal, or there's like a natural disaster, or a political thing, or I mean, disease. Zika ruined tourism numbers in a lot of countries, right? Like you become more susceptible to these sorts of things, or losing interest in it.
We're
because it ends
interest.
Up just being
there,
another.
There's probably more baseball players that come out of like Missouri than come out of Cuba.
Yeah.
But we lionize Cuba because it's like so rare that they could possibly get here and everything. Yeah, the minute they can just fly over, it's like, all right, buddy, you're yesterday's news.
But every Serbian's a great ball player.
And then we'll find the Myanmar or the North Korean ball players.
Yeah,
right?
It's gonna be North Korean ball players for sure.
Can I ask, though, on that note, with tourism, does it matter, like, what kind of tourists are coming?
I think so.
Because, like, I'm one kind of douchebag tourist.
Yeah.
I'm, like, the married, like, the honeymoon, like, you go on these, like, trips once a year, nice hotels.
You stay at the Sandals?
I don't stay at the Sandals, though, because I'm, like, the, like, I try to stay at, like, local, smaller places, but nice places, though.
Yeah.
Spend a lot of money
the
on food and
whatnot. Stuff that's been recently reviewed in the New York Times.
Stuff that's,
like, off the beaten path.
Tulum. This off the beaten path that thousands of people are reading about.
Tulum, Mexico. Tourists.
And then there's, like, the backpackers, and then there's, like,
The backpackers are the worst.
They're the worst?
Oh, they're the worst.
Oh, can I tell you why? Because I think what you touched on earlier, when they think... Like, when I was living in Suzhou, backpackers would come. They'd be in town for, like, 2 weeks. You'd be living there for 3 or 4 years. They would immediately think that they're superior to you because they, like, they looked at a lonely planet. And then all they would do is complain that there's, like, too many nice things.
Yeah.
Right. Like, they liked it better when everyone was poor
and
no one had a job.
Yeah.
And they literally think everyone should be poor to accommodate their authentic experience.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sorry that these people got a job at a factory, like a Bosch plant, and now live in an apartment. They don't live in a hut.
Well, it's the exact same, but not nearly as extreme argument when you walk around New York and you're like, oh, this neighborhood is so gentrified. And you're like, it's the exact same thing, but a lot more poverty.
Yes.
But whose money is going to fix the country best? Like, our money? My money? Who's going to do the least damage?
There's different ways to manage it, right? I mean, you can have a, like, robust economy that has a lot of tourism dollars flowing into it, but it would be nice if there's other industries or there's different countries that have different models where you say, I'm going to take some percentage of all the tourism dollars and put it into education or infrastructure or
microfinancing.
Right.
I've heard of it.
Like, people like me and, you know, we buy, like, we're really good at being swindled.
Yeah.
So we support, like, the local. Is that your study? Did you run the numbers
on
like, when I get tricked into buying a $500 suit
by
a scam, or, like, some guy makes me buy a watch, or, like,
well, that's like the peasants on the Great Wall, which is something I'm sure all your listeners can relate
to.
Like, you go up there, and, like, I went, like, once 10 years ago and then once, like, last year, and it's the exact same ancient people, and you give them the equivalent of, like, $30 for a bumper sticker.
How do they stay the same age for, like,
that's
30
amazing,
years?
Yeah.
They're always 90.
They're
like the Matthew McConaughey of China.
You can get older.
Everyone keeps getting older. They stay the same.
And they walk, like, 10 miles each way and all this.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about, like, all the greatness I've done for the world. Like, I forced my wife to go all around China to buy me Growing Pains DVD collection. She pointed the comedy. She's doing cab rides all over the place. She's, you know, so it's not all bad is all I'm trying to say.
I'm not saying it's all bad, like, by any stretch. I think I was more reacting to, not reacting, but more it was a commentary on Americans saying, oh my God, we were bringing the next great thing by showing up. And truly everyone was freaking out about Airbnb.
By opening it up.
Private enterprise was starting in Cuba this Airbnb.
And that's the ultimate thing if you want to be like before it was ruined. Like, you're not only going to Cuba, you're staying in like somebody's hut.
Everyone. I went in 2002.
You're way cooler than everybody else.
Yeah,
and also they've been doing the private homestays since forever. So...
It was ruined when I got there.
Yeah, yeah. Turner ruined it.
That's the cool guy
straight up
thing
to say.
Yeah.
Can I ask one last question about Cuba?
All right, go first.
I got to ask you, because we haven't even touched on this, but going back to our last podcast, what's the circus life there?
That's an awesome question.
Circus performer.
Did you check out? Because for those who didn't listen, you're...
Or stand-up.
Yeah.
Stand-up, I don't even...
Almost nothing is funny in Cuba.
Scene is not.
Everyone just gets shot immediately. Yeah. Like, after the premise, but before the punchline.
Yeah.
There's like a minder follows you around as you tell the joke.
And the premise is just like, I still can't buy food. And then they shoot you. Circus, I didn't see any circus. There is a show going on that I didn't see. So there's that. And then there's like live music that you would expect.
I would imagine it's like, they do like death-defying... or maybe even death realizing tricks.
Right.
Because, like, if everyone dies, who cares? It's that's good for the revolution.
But is there anything where, like, Cuban circus? Because maybe they sneak them over. The way the baseball players are better. Maybe
there's Cuban dancing.
I did go to a baseball game when I was there. It was pretty fun. Mm. They sell beers in a brown paper bag, like a lunch bag for kids.
Whoa.
But then they line it with wax.
Cool.
Like candle wax, and that's how the beer stays in.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why.
And yeah, that
sounds seems
like
a really complicated
you.
Way of serving beer.
Yeah, they could have just got cups. But I guess cups are just paper with wax lining, right?
What is a cup if not a paper with
it's
wax
a capitalist. And
This is why you come to Lost in America for the real answers.
That's
Dixie,
right.
Baby.
What is a cup?
So what are you working on now? What's next over at 538?
Yeah.
Income.
That com. So I, unclear what my like broader role is because it's a made up thing, but I'm working on typically like foreign policy related stuff, like international relations things. And then in general, anything that involves like some big long-term data set collection.
Well, then you might have to be a regular on the pod.
Yeah.
If you want people to get angry and talk about,
is Nate Silver's
all
your boss?
Gonna die. Yes. Yeah.
Have him come on too, you know?
I could ask him if I do it. I don't know.
There you go. Yeah. We'll
and
do
tell
it.
Tell him to do some circus stat stories.
No.
We
want
yeah, why
stats.
Not? Let's dig deep into the the game theory of circus.
I'll write that and then we'll talk about it.
All right. Yeah. So
pitch it. We'll work on the pitch a little bit.
So, before we get to the news, anything to promote?
Anything to promote?
Where do people find your articles?
On 538writtenout.com.
Written out. Oh, I
five,
see.
Yeah, spelling it out.
So you got to know how to spell to
yeah,
get
yeah, I think it's uncool to just type 538. Like, I started that on, like, the internal chats, and it didn't seem to fly.
They weren't
so.
Fans.
It work, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you type in 538.com?
No, it does. It goes it nowhere.
Oh,
I only know
it?
That because
oh,
my mother tried to
that.
Link to it, and it just didn't go to anything.
We should buy that link.
We should buy that. $1 billion idea.
Yeah, you should.
I hope you're listening, Nate Silver. We'll sell it back to you for $1 billion.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go in tomorrow and be like, you're fired. You ruined our whole business. But yeah, you can find stuff on 538.com. And my website, jonesroy.com, has like stand-up and circus show updates.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm touring in China doing some stand-up.
Oh, when are you going?
We
got a lot of listeners.
In November.
What are the dates? Do you know?
November 3rd.
In Shanghai. Kung Fu Comedy Club.
Yeah.
Andy Curtin.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
We'll do a live pod.
Will always be everywhere.
Nice.
All right,
you'll be at the Sandals Resort in Shanghai.
Is there sandals there?
We'll build one.
We'll get a sandals.
No, I'm a smug traveler. I don't like sandals. I like down on those people. I like to experience local culture, but not too authentic. But, you know.
Tianzifeng, I think,
exactly.
is what you want.
Yeah.
That's the neighborhood.
It's very Xin Tiandi of him.
All right. And I will be, let's see, September 20th, we're doing our Kung Fu Comedy Show at New York Comedy Club. Tickets are on sale now.
All right.
Get them.
Go get them, people.
Get them. All right. Let's get to the news.
All right.
Story of the week. This comes to us from the Daily Mail, Kaplan.
Oh, one of the most reputable news sources in all the world.
Your favorite, Circus. We're
Here
starting
we
out theme it. Circus, although this is spelled very differently. This is an app, Surkus. Circus, an emerging mobile app, allows newly opened restaurants and businesses to create their ideal crowd and pay people to act as extras. So you know what this means?
No.
Okay, so this means this app, if you have a new restaurant, right, and you're like, the whole thing about restaurants is you got to get people in, but people don't go in until they see that other people are in.
Okay.
How do you get people in to start out? Boom, you do Circus. This is not a sponsor, although we'll accept it if they want to.
Yeah.
You do Circus, you get like actors to come in, they sit in your restaurant, and then people walk by and they go, ooh, it must be good, it's full. What do you think about
shame.
That, Cap?
People have no shame these days. You got to earn it. Right? Everyone earns it. The other thing is people used to, like, restaurants used to have the whole point was you knew how to get people to come, even if it was bullshit.
Well,
like, you had friends, the guy who runs the restaurant.
Exactly.
Or you have, like, promoters and stuff, right?
You start with your friends, a lot of people. I had a friend who started a bar in Suzhou. Hit the first, like, 6 months, he was just incessantly like, everyone, come, I'll give you free drinks.
And then they want to come because you want to eat for free and taste, tell them what you think.
But, so this is my reaction, is China's been doing this for years and years and years. Like, when I was at Cirque in Shanghai, we had fillers, and we just, I don't know if we paid them, we might have, but you definitely, like, you're like, come, we'll give you all the bottle service you want.
Really?
You stand at this table, and you look fashionable. It was. I was naive, and it took me a while to realize how many of our guests were fillers.
Just seat fillers?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Literally fillers. Yeah.
People always told me at Mr. Softy in China, Chinese people would tell me to do this.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, did you do this to Softy?
We never did, but everyone would say to, because they're like, oh, if anyone sees a line of people buying ice cream, everyone will want to buy ice cream.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's universal. Like, people here, you know, we've talked before, but they just, like, see a line and they want to, like, they're idiots.
Yeah, all the
so,
big clubs in Shanghai are doing that.
Really? Yeah. Here's as close as we got, is we did train people that who work for us, if there's no line and then, like, a couple people come up to buy ice cream, make it very slow.
Nice.
So that it, like, they have to stay there and then more people come. If there's already a big line, you can just blast
Well, I'm impressed by places in New York, like Artichoke Pizza and like a couple others where there's like, there is an inside to the restaurant, but the way they've set it up, if you're waiting in line, you have to wait basically outside.
Right.
So you're walking by and it just looks like a busy place.
That's a smart move.
We should talk to Ikram about, he's instead of blowing money, football students come, you know he's going to be blowing money on jerseys for me.
Yes.
He should take that money instead and just buy some ends people. Just have them
get people to line up outside in studios.
No, just to you just pay people. You hand them a phone, and then you have people standing around like in like on their phone, and people walk by and like, what are they doing that phone?
I don't think people ask what are they doing.
No,
and
you
you're
look,
holding
this,
it up with like ends on the app and big money.
People are like eavesdropping.
These people always, look great. What app are they using?
I think good-looking people would cause it.
You know, you always
what app are they using?
Yeah, not that I look at good-looking people.
You're a little hot number over there.
Yeah, what
well, I assume it goes without saying that they're not putting ugly people in this restaurant, right? There's no ugliest people in the circus app, are there?
Well, that's true, because I went into McDonald's last night, shout out, to get a milkshake.
I'm not shouting on McDonald's.
They could use our help.
Yeah,
and I went to
He's a filler for.
That's where he went for a milkshake.
No, because Shake Shack, there was a line of like 30 people.
See, the line can go both ways.
The backfired,
So it backfired.
Those are all extras. My God,
so I go down the
Shake Shack's been paying forever.
I go down the street to McDonald's, and as I'm walking into McDonald's, this like 500-pound guy is walking out of McDonald's, and it did make me second guess my decision to go to McDonald's.
Yeah, they should have that guy leave through a special exit.
If it was some hot guy, I'd be like, yeah, give me two milkshakes.
You should go to Arby's. Get the Jamocha shake.
Oh, yeah?
You'll thank me. It's our signature blend, 23 flavors.
Signature blend?
What is Jamocha?
It's just coffee and chocolate, but I used to say that when I worked at Arby's. It's our signature blend of 23 spices
just coffee
or
and
ingredients.
Chocolate?
Or
Kaplan is wildly loyal.
Wildly loyal to Arby's, 20 years later. I ate there the other day with my kids, and Teddy, I told him I used to eat at Arby's. I was in Pennsylvania. I used to work here, I said. And he's like, oh, you should work here again. This is a cool place to work.
Nice.
He's like, so, you know,
see?
For kids.
Kids, no. This is, if any of these fillers, these restaurant fillers, this would be a great job for comedians.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna get dialogue going with people.
Well,
you make people
and
laugh.
You got nothing to do all day.
Yeah.
You're sitting around. Everybody's like
food.
Teaching English on the internet or something. Screw that.
Everybody. Are there one person?
We generalize here on the pod.
But did you see the part of the article where they're like, your app will keep track of your location, so if these fillers leave, then they don't get paid? I mean, then you just hide your phone in the cushions. You get paid.
Or you sit there and write.
Sure.
Yeah. I like that we've had a guest who actually read the news article. Very exciting. Thank you.
See, you're making
like,
money.
And you know what? Yeah. Last thing, to tie it all into our theme, Cuba needs to, this is what they need to do.
Get some fillers.
They need to get some fillers. That's what they need to get the budget on.
Well, and on that, on the Cuba and the dictatorship theme, we're going... Hasn't North Korea been doing this for years?
They have fake
Isn't
cities,
this the
right?
Whole, yeah, they have whole fake cities.
Right.
Yeah.
They've mastered this circus app.
It's a circus
Do you
actually
think
in North
their
Korea.
Their nukes are just apps, like a Fiddler stand-in nuke?
Yeah. Circus nukes?
Yeah, circus nukes.
I think that if North Korea found out that we were now following them, they'd be less likely to nuke us or Guam.
Yeah.
Okay, are they the hot... good-looking people in this equation, or I can't.
I don't think North Koreans are good-looking.
Famously good-looking people.
I think they're like 3.5 feet tall.
I think so too.
Aren't they? Because they didn't mature with the rest of society.
Well, they haven't had food in a long time.
Not.
I bet the snack situation is real bad.
Yeah, you're not getting your vegan.
Not getting my vegan potato chips.
On the good side, you would not be afraid to walk into any McDonald's there, because there wouldn't be a 400-pound guy coming out.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think you're getting good quality horse meat there either.
All right, next.
Very scrawny horse meat out there.
Yeah.
Next story. From the SF Gate in San Francisco, apparently. Owners must surgically debark loud dogs, an Oregon court has recently ruled. Groups such as the Oregon Humane Society and American Humane Society have spoken out against them. The surgery involves cutting the vocal cords. Opponents say removing a dog or cat's prime means of communication is cruel and unnecessary.
Sure.
That's a real downer.
Yeah.
You picked the story, Kaplan.
We talk about depravity and poverty in all these countries.
Yeah, would this in China, would they like?
Okay, first of all, these dogs, they'd be lunch. Like, yeah. I don't see how you could be complaining. No, these dogs have it too good here in America.
So you're pro debarking dogs?
Yeah.
You adjusted in New York
that
to
or
like
dog burgers? I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh my God, you guys are really dark. Do you have barking dogs in your neighborhood in New York? Is this a thing?
No, I have. There was one when I was growing up, and there was a debarked dog. Is that the term?
Does it make
debarked?
Them like no. They can't speak at all?
No, they just speak like what's his name? Super Dave Osborne. They're like, hello! Jerry! Like on Kirby Enthusiasm?
For 40 years.
Marty Funkhauser or whatever. Marty. Hey, Jerry, you want to hear a joke? They're equally
as
annoying.
I wish I could do it as like a threat to my dog, like if she understood it.
Oh, yeah. It's like the dog version of you're going to military
school.
I'm going to
get home after this pod, and she's going to be the second I walk in. The second I sit down and eat is what she waits for.
Yeah.
Eat my dinner, and she just yaps. I need to take her out.
Can't we do something with like a light electric shock instead? Like that won't kill them, but like.
Well, that is. I think one person did. Yeah, they suggested that. Just shock the hell out of their neck.
Yeah.
At least you're not cutting out their vocal cords.
Do they even
right?
know like their vocal cords
aren't
working?
Also, what if they're going to protect you from like a robbery or something, and then they can't because they just sound like they're wheezing?
Can I give you like the ultimate Trump take on this?
Because
that's the next line.
Alt-middle it.
Proponents, the alt-middle says, proponents say if done correctly, it can save problematic animals from being euthanized and still allow them to express themselves with a soft, raspy bark or muffled squeak.
Wait, because the dog doesn't know. What they're doing.
They're saying if you're choosing between just taking the dog out back and shooting it or cutting its vocal cords out.
And giving it
out,
a soft, raspy bark.
Yeah, if that's what you're game theorying the dog.
Honestly, I would rather hear a bark than whatever whisper horror.
It's equally as annoying.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, Jerry.
Yeah. That's horrible.
All right, last story. Local. This is local Kaplan news.
All right.
Kaplan, this is from the Daily Beast, but ultimately it's from your building, I believe. Feds allege a Long Island city man turned his high-rise apartment into a laboratory pumping out synthetic heroin that killed at least one mail-order customer.
My lawyer has advised me to plead the fifth.
Yeah. This is your backyard.
Oh, I thought you were reading more. Yes, so this was the news of the day, or the news of the week. The other day in our neighborhood, went out to walk Pancakes, who was barking with full vocal capacity.
Oh, boy.
And there was helicopters swatting all over the place. Like all over the neighborhood, like helicopters circling.
Yeah, like.
And we live by the East River, so I thought, you always think, like, oh, there's like a body.
Yeah.
Like someone dumped a body, they're fetching it out. Kids look the other way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it turned out it wasn't my building. It was I'm in the affordable housing building. It was in the more luxurious building.
Mm-hmm. Really?
This building's got like a beach volleyball court and a tennis court.
That's what it says here. It says it was the epicenter of a sprawling opioid market.
Wow.
And it says his company, he had like two different websites with names of the company, RC Powders and Unbeatable Chems. He was selling it all on Reddit. His company's offer,
amazing.
It says his company offers a buffet of synthetic opioids and hallucinogens, which customers can buy with Bitcoin, Amazon cards, or Hotels.com vouchers.
So there's so many things in this story that I find amazing because I don't know what any of them are. I don't know what Reddit is, actually. I say it. I know it's something on the internet.
I don't either.
I don't know
it's
really
like a
know
chat what, forum of some kind.
Yeah, I don't even know what Bitcoin is really. I don't really know how to use that. Like I don't really know what meth is. Like
let me say this. If you're going to be buying opioids from this guy with amazon.com
or any guy,
cards,
for that matter.
Yes. Just use our lostamericapod.com link. Just go through our link.
I imagine it's expensive. We're going to get a lot of money.
Yeah, we'll get a kickback. We'll get 5 to 8%. We win, you win.
You might have just found yourselves a new sponsor. I want to know how to use my hotels.com vouchers.
Yeah, do you have a lot of vouchers?
A lot of vouchers.
What is a
hotels.com voucher?
Well,
I can't go back
voucher?
To Cuba, so I don't know what I'm going to do with all these
vouchers.
So they
give you a voucher and you can use it for anything? It's like funny money?
Well, that's, yes. And I think that, you know how everyone talks about the dark web?
Yeah.
I think it just means Amazon.com cards and hotels.com.
Yeah, that's
vouchers.
The dark web.
We thought it was like Bitcoin and all this futuristic stuff. It's literally just these two things.
Yeah, it's just
what
a
about
way
like
to,
a Best Buy gift card?
It's a way for like nerds to sound cool. So like, yeah. I'm on the dark web.
You carry some fucking cash around, people.
It's like the current day version of being in a motorcycle gang.
Get a checkbook, balance your checkbook.
Fewer than 48 hours notice. That's all you did.
Hey, can I say two things here really quick as a local resident, my local resident commentary?
Sound off.
You know, to go back to what we were talking about dogs, I live in a neighborhood where every yent in the neighborhood likes to freak out. They take about dogs going off leash, dogs going area. God forbid a dog goes in an area where there's grass. The right where that building is a park. There's grass. Dogs aren't allowed. Anytime a dog goes in, someone snaps a photo. They post it on Facebook. There's a whole freaking riot about it. There's a meth lab right under these people's noses.
Yeah, but you know why it's there? Because these yentas wouldn't let the dogs in to sniff.
Yeah, the dogs would have exactly.
They would have found it years ago.
And even if they'd found it, they couldn't have barked to alert people.
But you know,
exactly.
But these, and then the other thing is these yentas make me feel like my neighborhood sometimes kind of lame, kind of yuppie-ish.
I think it is.
Yeah, it is a little bit. You know, that's why this story is so comforting
it's
beautiful.
To me. Oh, Brian Parker.
I feel much better. Brian Parker, thank you so much. Yes. My neighborhood's cool again.
Wait, so is it still running? Can we go there? What's happening?
No, they had all these hazmat suits. I didn't get that. There's about 30 guys in hazmat suits parked outside this thing. They were rushing in like the end of E.T. or something. We're like, they don't know what they're going
to... And it was just this clear dude the place hanging out on the dark web.
No, they... I think he had a whole... Who knows what he had in there? I didn't...
Do you know? You work for a website. Do you know what the dark web is?
It's like a website, but there's like... It's dark. Like the black background.
That's not it.
Is it a white font?
Like so you mean it's like every band's website in the 90s?
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of MySpace.
Like Limp Bizkit and Korn.
Yeah, when you accidentally design your website and it's black. And
Check out GeoCities and see if you can get your own.
And then also, what is Reddit? You just said it's like a chat room. Are there people are still on chat rooms?
It's kind of like a news slash chat.
For like the last 11 people who are in chat rooms who haven't been raped yet, they're on Reddit. Yeah.
Like, I've been in this chat room since 1997, and I'm looking to meet an older guy.
The worst rapist of all time.
Yeah.
He's like the last man standing who can't get anybody.
I never logged out from my Prodigy account. I was in the Syracuse basketball chat rooms in 1992.
Cosby was all over it in the 90s.
And I never logged out of my Prodigy account, so I might still be in there. Reddit bought them, for all I know. That could have been buying opioids.
All right. That's the podcast.
Which, by the way, opioids you could get for dogs. To tie it in if they lose their vocal cords. And boom.
Yeah.
On the dark web.
Yeah, on the dark web. Yes.
Yes. All right, Andrew Jones. All right, thanks for doing the pod.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, what should we do, Cap?
I'm going to go get extra lost because I got to go do a fantasy football draft. I'm a real loser.
All right,
get lost, people.
Sometimes I get to feeling low. I wish I could just pick up and go. Somewhere new, I change my point of view. Or maybe somebody I don't know. I toss the idea to and fro. Not sure what makes it come and go. But there it is again, sweet music on the wind from over the gulf. I'm going down to Cuba someday soon, following that Caribbean moon. It's been too long since I've been there. I'm going down there to see my friends, down where the rhythm never ends, where women wear gardenias in their hair. People will tell you it's not easy. You're not supposed to go, they say. They say that Cuba is the enemy. I'm going down there anyway. I'm going down to Cuba to see my friends, down where the rhythm never ends. No problem is too difficult to solve. Yeah, times are tough down there, it's true, but you know they're gonna make it through. They make such continuous use of the verb to resolve. They've got to deal with that embargo, enough to drive any country insane. They might not know all the freedoms you and I know. They do know what to do in a hurricane. Maybe I go through Mexico. And old Jesse Helms don't have to know. Anyway, all the allies of the USA
traveled to Cuba every day. I'm going down to Cuba to see my friends, down where the rhythm never ends, where by comparison my troubles just unravel. I'm North American, you know, don't like to hear where I can't go. Free people will insist on the freedom to travel. I'm gonna drink the rum and yeho,
no, no, the mojito,
and walk out on the malecón.
The malecón.
In one hand, the Monte Cristo, and in the other, an ice cream cone. I'm going down to Cuba with my band. We're gonna formulate a plan whereby we obtain that cultural permission. If I told you once, I told you twice, it'll put a smile on your face to see a Chevrolet with a Soviet transmission.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.